Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. My name is Bill Sturgeon. I'm going to be with you for about 55 minutes. I am, without question, I want people to know this. Peter Marchetti, the mayor of the city of Pittsfield, is a friend of mine. And doesn't mean we always see eye to eye, but that's what friendship's about. But I've also respect him for coming on this program and being very candid. He's always been candid. That's why I think he's been elected so much. Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, well, I'm older, fatter, and balder than I was last week, but I'm still here. I do want to thank you, Peter, for coming on the show, because it really means a lot to the people to hear right from you, the person who does this, what's going on in the city, rather than the Eagle or some other place. So, or the coffee shop or the bar. We talked last time about potholes. This program will air on April 28th, and I do want to tell you, I see noticeable improvements, and the teams are out working. And if I may just say this, and then you can answer, I am really discouraged at people maligning and belittling the city. Those people who work for the city are doing the best they can. It's been a huge, awful, terrible winter. And I've said my piece. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate the opportunity to be here because I, too, read comments, concerns, or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that when I was on your show for the month of March, there needs to be ownership, there needs to be accountability. You know, statements like Pittsfield is the only place in the world that has potholes is false information, yeah. False narrative. You know, we talked about it when I was on your show a month ago, how it seemed to be that, yes, we had potholes, but then all of a sudden, the end of February, the beginning of March, they just kind of
blossomed
into far more than we did. We addressed it then with how we could handle potholes in the interim while the asphalt plants weren't open, and then what could we do differently? And we held to those. The problem with using, you know, regenerated asphalt for filling potholes is the longevity of its solution is not all that
right.
And so if you took a road and filled all the potholes on Monday, but there was a torrential downpour on Thursday, and then it happened to freeze at the end, chances are that by Friday, the work that did on Monday wasn't possible. But we've also, you know, the plants have been open. We've been working, and a couple weeks ago, we issued an RFP for a contractor to also help fill potholes. You know, I think one of the things that we forget about Pittsfield, and if we go back to the 90s and when Proposition 2.5 took place, the number of Department of Public Utilities and Department of Public Works employees that the city had as compared to the number of employees that we have today. And sure, you can say that the population has decreased because GE left, but the number of linear road miles has not decreased. And some of the opportunities, you know, on April 15th, we held a meeting with winter contractors. I attempted to reach both the contractors that are working for the city currently, but also ones that have worked for us in the past that no longer work for us. And we had a meeting to say, talk to me about the issues of being a contractor. Why did you leave the city? Where could the city do to make improvements? And it was about an hour long meeting. There was some great dialogue, some great recommendations coming forth from some of the contractors. And so we now have the entire summer to kind of think about some of these issues that were raised and to see if we can come up with solutions to make that environment better. I mean, I think that when I look at the time since I've been mayor, winter storms, I would say that we have done a exceptional job at plowing the roads and getting the stuff done. Sure, we struggled during one of the last storms, which duration lasted more than 48 hours. And it wasn't just a single type of precipitation storm.
Trying to get off again, everything.
It was multiple stuff, and then it quickly froze. And so, you know, I think it's important that we shared with the contractors that we appreciate the work they do. And that, you know, no matter what we do, there's going to be calls. And, you know, that we had some laughter about, you know, no matter what we do when we plow a road, we inevitably plow in everybody's driveway. And, you know, fortunately or unfortunately for me, living on Valentine Road, I have the large wing plows from the city going up and down, and kind of made a joke and said, well, I know who does my street. And, you know, he kind of smiled and said, yep, I waved to him as I went by his house. He was out shoveling, you know, and so I get it because, you know, nothing frustrates me more than when I completely clear out my driveway and they come back through with another sweep and I've got to go back out. And I also understand that, look, I'm 56 years old and I'm not 75 years old or older and, you know, that having to go shovel the driveway. But it's not the contractor's fault or the city employee's fault that when we plow the roads, we need to plow differently. And, you know, it was interesting. We got into some of the what I would call minutia, and you know, the person was like, well, on this street where I plow, it says that you're not supposed to park here, but they still park here. And when I plow that street, I try to plow that street so that the snow goes to the island and not on people's driveways.
Right.
But when they're parking there and they make it harder for me to maneuver, it makes it harder. And so, you know, there was a piece of, wow, I don't think I've ever heard someone say, I was trying to be creative and I know that I could plow the street one of two ways and I could plow towards the sidewalk.
Yeah.
I'm plowing in everyone's driveway, or I could plow to the island, which who cares how much snow's on the island all winter long.
Right.
And you know, it eases some of the burden for the homeowners. And I was like, wow, that's pretty cool. I would have never thought about that stuff. And so, you know, we worked with them. We have the contractors that are out filling potholes, and we have begun doing the road work that is still needs to be completed for fiscal year 25. And that work is happening. As you said, the show is going to air on April 28th. So by then, we may actually be seeing folks from the state doing South Street and repaving South Street. That will be followed by North Street and parts of East Street, parts of First Street. Currently on Valentine Road, the water main project for the West Street side of Valentine Road is in progress, and the water mains are being replaced. And once that's finished, Valentine Road will be repaved for the ends that hasn't already been. And shortly, budget season will be coming. And as we do budget season, we'll be bringing forward the fiscal year 26 road work that we expect to complete between July 1st and June 30th of next year. So we've been working from a public services piece. I think that I would also share with folks that haven't seen public works, public services, public utilities, whatever, however we want to call it, has been an area where I've been really doing some focus. And I think we've talked about it before, but early on in my tenure, I brought back former Commissioner Trosi to assist me with kind of understanding. I've been someone who's been around for a really long time. And I remember when we had a Commissioner of Public Works and a Commissioner of Public Utilities separated. Now we've put it together. You know, there's a part of me that questions if that's too much responsibility and work for one person. The former commissioner said, no, it's not, but you need a deputy commissioner. So you need the commissioner to be working you know, at the overview level and planning the projects and planning the concepts, but then you need someone who is in the field managing the operations.
Exactly. Boots on the ground.
You can't have someone creating the roadmap and the plan and that person also being the person that's boots on the ground managing the projects. And so we have got to where we have a commissioner, deputy commissioner, and we have refilled the business manager's position because the former person had passed away. So those three positions are in place. And I applied for a grant with the state, a community compact grant that we were awarded $50,000 for. And we just had our kickoff meeting earlier this month with the folks at the Collins Center to do a complete review of, you know, do we have the right management set up? Do we have the right folks in place? And you folks who are the professionals at the Collins Center can tell us what best practices are in other communities, and they can kind of evaluate their stuff. And so there's a couple of things that for me just kind of went, all right, let's make some sense out of this, right? We have a commissioner who's in charge of all the public services, which is highway, which is parks, you know, and you know, the work side, so and water and wastewater and sewer, and you know, does any of this make sense? And then parks somehow fall in public services, but parks, geez, is it Commissioner Morales that is in charge of this piece, or it's a maintenance issue? So is it Director Filio, or it's a planning thing? So is that Jim McGrath and Ms. Van Bramer and community development? And so does that make sense to you? And how do we kind of make that work? And is it the best format? The other piece is that we as a city really say to folks, hey, use PitSmart. And, you know, we push PitSmart, And I have mixed opinions about PitSmart, and it's not PitSmart. It's the way that we use and operate PitSmart. And, you know, when I looked at it, and there are stuff that was reported in 2020 that's still not completed, or at least it's not said it's completed in the app, what are we doing? And when you look, and you go and you put something in, you know, when you first submit something, it comes back and tells you it's been submitted. Then later, once someone from the city acknowledges it, it moves into a received category. And then when it's assigned to work, it gets moved to an in progress, and then it gets moved to completed. Well, if your request hasn't even made it from submitted to received, you know, what kind of confidence level does that give you? And are we using, well, first question is that app the best app for us to use? And the second is, are we using it the way that it's supposed to be used?
I don't believe
and,
so.
And the third is, with all the new people that we've hired, have they been trained on the process?
Good point. Excellent
app,
point.
Right? So instead of just saying, let's get rid of the app, let's dive down and ask those questions.
Yeah.
And geez, if we learn that 20 other communities are using this app and they're not having any issues, then what are we doing wrong for that piece? If we learn that all 20 other communities are having the same problems that we are, then maybe it's time for us to explore another alternative. And, you know, I'm not afraid to engage in those kind of conversations because it's easy to dump on someone and say, and there's a phrase that has happened lately that drives me, kind of makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, do better. And like, sure, we all want to do better. But I think in times, let's be honest and open where we think that we are not meeting the mark. And, you know, sometimes I'm happy to engage in conversations with folks, happy to, you know, what are you seeing? Because from the lens that you're seeing, I may not be seeing that same thing. And happy to engage in those kind of conversations. If I don't agree with what you're saying, then I think that we can be adults and agree that we don't agree on a particular issue, but on the big picture, we all agree. And so when you start to, take a deeper dive in, and you get into the day-to-days or the moments-to-moments, we don't have to necessarily agree on that or not. And so, you know, I think on a whole mess of fronts, you know, we've talked a lot about what we're doing in terms of, you know, roads and highway. It's the time of year where parks need their rebirth of the spring so that, you know, our parks are used heavily throughout the spring, summer, and fall. You know, projects like the restoration of Pontusic Lake and the areas that are happening there. You know, so we know that we need to concentrate on our parks and make improvements. We know housing is an issue, and, you know, there are so many housing projects happening in the city right now, which hopefully by the end of 2025 or first quarter 2026, we have 112 new housing units coming on the pipeline.
Great.
With conversations about Hibbard School, and it is in, you know, a consulting phase, ready to have an RFP developed to look for a contractor there. You know, I toured the 592 Terrace Apartments, which is the old white terrace apartments.
Yeah, they're beautiful.
They're great. I think they're nice efficiency apartments for, you know, a single person or a couple. And that developer has loved their experience developing in Pittsfield and is willing for another project. So how do we work with them to do another project? And, you know, folks, it's easy to say build housing. But if we're talking build housing, you know, just to build, say, 45 units, it's a upwards of $17 million project. Yeah. And, you know, we, the city of Pittsfield, has done a job of going to the state for tax credits and other opportunities. We know that the governor has a great housing bond bill that, you know, the Affordable Homes Act that we in the city of Pittsfield can say, here are all our shovel-ready projects, and we want to get in line for some of that funding. I think we need to kind of take a step back and think about the words that we're using and the terminology we're using and make sure that we all understand what that means.
And that's a good point.
So what does affordable housing mean? What does market rate housing mean? For me, we talk about the fact that we don't really have a large surplus of housing stock. Well, we haven't built senior housing in the city of Pittsfield in my lifetime. And that being said, you know, just look at the big picture. If you and Roseanne said, hey, this house is too much for us to maintain currently, you don't really have any other options because there's no place else for you to go. But if we had plenty of senior housing, you might make the decision or not, again, your decision, but you might make the decision that, you know, the yard work and the upkeep and the shoveling and all we need to do is too much. And we're happy to go into some senior housing complex. Well, if there were that extra type of living and many seniors chose it, right? And the important word is chose, because I wouldn't want to force someone into a living arrangement that they don't want. But how much housing stock could be made available for the next generation? If, you know, and so where's that conversation? How much of an interest is there? So there's a lot to be done around housing. The Community Development Office has done a housing study. We've identified 10 downtown storefronts where, you know, floors two to however many floors there are could be converted into housing. Sure. And again, it's an expensive proposition, but those plans are there. As I said, Hibbard School is there. And so, you know, we need to keep focusing on that. I think a lot of attention is going to be needed with the Pittsfield Public School System over the next several months, and important work needs to be done.
Yeah.
You know, in the short term, we need an interim superintendent who will serve for a year. And once that's underway, then a full-fledged search for a permanent superintendent needs to take place. We know that there are at least two principal spots available.
Yeah.
And so we have the opportunity to recreate a new leadership within the stuff. And, you know, as we do that, we, you know, instead of looking at it from a negative light, let's look at it from how we can have a rebirth and you know, begin Home as a Stuff. And, you know, I think that you know, really kind of need to recognize that deferring maintenance has to stop.
Right.
And, you know, we, I don't know how many years we've been talking about the fact that we need a new police station. You know, I don't think many of us don't understand the condition of that building. But we also understand to build a $50 million new police station. And so we need to look at the bigger pictures. We need to look at the spaces that we're leasing and try to find a way to utilize existing city buildings where we can. You know, it was probably 15 years ago or in that vicinity that we had an issue with the basement of City Hall, and we've ignored it ever since and don't use the basement.
Right.
We can talk with Kona Park. I think that all of us could see the deterioration of Wakona Park. We let it get to a level where now it's condemned. You can't use the grandstands. So now you have to make some big decisions. Do you want a Wakona Park? B, do you want a renovated Wakona Park, or do you want a tear down and build new? If it's going to cost you $18 million to renovate and $26 million for new, I think there's a conversation to be had.
Oh, yeah.
That's there. And also, we're gauge the level of community support. Let's do some fundraising. Let's kind of figure out where we're at, and also be clear if we're going to take the time to rebuild a Wakona Park. It's not just about baseball.
Right.
It's about a venue in the city of Pittsfield that could be used for a variety of things. And, you know, so baseball is probably the major summer event. But in the spring, there are a lot of high school sports that could be playing in a renovated Wakona Park. And our high school students could be playing in a facility that they could be proud of. And showcases the city. There are the opportunities of concerts and drum corps shows and events that can be held there in the fall. We have our soccer and football sports that could be there. And then in the winter, you know, the city has been working with a gentleman, Alex Reagan, who is, his passion is creating the opportunity for an outdoor skating rink in the Berkshires. And he came to us to begin with. The cost of purchasing a portable ice rink and having excess money for operating costs is about $250,000. He, with the help of Jim McGrath, have already secured about $175,000 to purchase. So we're well on our way of doing that. That makes Wakona Park a year-round destination if you locate the portable ice rink in Wakona Park for the winter. So you have the opportunity to, you know, some members of the team and I took a trip to Polar Park about a month ago to engage in a conversation with how did you build, how did you finance, how do you operate? In some sense, I think you can make the case that we were comparing apples to oranges because, you know, Pittsfield doesn't have the Woo Sox or the Red Sox affiliation. But there were some things there that I saw that was interesting. And, you know, based on the size and the capacity where you could be talking 5,000 to 10,000 people per game, your concession stands can offer a little bit more than what Pittsfield could. But one of the things that they do is that they allow outside restaurants an opportunity to come in and man one of the concession stands for a particular night or week. And so, you know, come to the Pittsfield Suns game and grab your food from X, wherever restaurant of the week or day is. And so now you're getting some community involvement. You're also helping cross promote businesses. So, you know, I kind of like that idea. And, you know, if we continue to do what we've always done, we'll continue to get the same results. And change the world. You know, we managed that with trash, and there was tons of conversations about trash, and now it seems to be, hey, it wasn't that bad.
I don't think so.
You know, we can see through the data, and you know, we're close to budget season, but through being able to reduce solid waste disposal by the numbers that we have, we have basically taken some of those savings and said, you know, our winter maintenance account that we only ever budget $700,000 for, and we know it's like $1.5 million all the time. We can move it to 900,000 without really increasing the budget because we're taking the savings that we have and reallocating them to other places. And so, you know, hopefully through the Collins Institute, we come up with more creative ways to find efficiency. And we need to continue doing that across the board. I listened to your show this morning, April 16th. With President White, and the conversations about everything needs to be looked at.
Yeah.
I'm engaging in conversation with three of the largest departments in regards to overtime. And if you take police, fire, and public services, and you take all of the overtime for those three departments, you're looking at a $5 million bill.
Right.
Now, some of it is we're short-staffed and we're backfilling shifts. But that's surprisingly not a large portion of it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And so you know, as we were going through one of the departments, it was about 17% of the overtime costs. Now, I think there are some definitions or some some different pots of money that go to different things that is not backfilling shifts but additional duties that get performed that we all want but can't be done in the 40-hour work week than an employee does. And so as we're finalizing the budget and you know, we'll have it to the council for the first meeting in May, I'm doing a deep dive on what are these costs and, you know, putting into practice that for overtime, and it's a question, and I think it's a case by case, but if there's a water main break in the city of Pittsfield at 5 o'clock this afternoon, do we need to call everyone in to fix that water main break? Because it's an emergency.
Right.
Or can it wait until 8 a.m. or 7 a.m. tomorrow morning and it can be fixed. Well, I don't think that you can say across the board that every water main break is an emergency. You also can't say that every water main break needs to be fixed.
Exactly.
When it happens. And so, wow, just by asking that question, you can change the way that you operate. And if you change that, can you find savings?
You got a big job. We're going to take a break here. I have to say this. Listeners and viewers, you want candid, you want truthful, you want thinking outside the box. I hope you've listened to what the mayor has just been saying. And it's the old adage for civil service, and I think he's trying to break it. And the old adage is this: we've always done it that way. Well, you know what? I had a guy on yesterday, or he did a presentation to the school committee, I'm sure the mayor saw, that I interviewed him on this program, in about AI, artificial intelligence. And I want to tell you, we've always done it this way, is dead. We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio dial. We are simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301, and we are blasting into the southern of Berkshires at 88.1 FM. We'll be right back. Stay tuned, please. More from the mayor.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield. 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available. Online at Sandrini.com.
Hi, I'm Leslie Hertzberg, Executive Director of the Berkshire County Historical Society. Spring through fall, we look forward to welcoming you for tours of Herman Melville's historic home, Arrowhead. We offer a wide variety of in-person and virtual programs throughout the year. Visit BerkshireHistory.org for information on programs and to schedule a tour.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
This is Kevin Cahill from the Sunday Sounds of Ireland show, which you can listen to every Sunday on WTBR 89.7 at 10 a.m. You will hear the jigs, you will hear the reels, the fiddles, the bowrons, and the bagpipes, Paddy Riley, the Wolf Tones, the Chieftains, and even some cranberries. So listen to the Sunday Sounds of Ireland every Sunday at 10 a.m. here at WTBR 89.7.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
All right, we're back. The good-looking guy you see there, he's the mayor of the city of Pittsfield. He was the president of the city council. He was a city councilor. And he worked in private industry. So he hasn't been in government all his life. I have him on, and I have Congressman Neal on. I have anybody, the bishop. I want you to hear from the people, Peter White, the city council president, councilors. I want you to hear from the people themselves what they're doing. And before I go any further, congratulations to the district attorney and his team who took a whole bunch of these child online predators. I can't say enough good things about what the DA is doing. That, to me, what you should get a gold star. That's what they used to do in Catholic school when you did something right, Peter. I never got any, but a lot of the kids did. But all kidding aside.
Let me see your knuckles. Let me see your knuckles.
My earlobes, they're huge. But I want to, all kidding aside, what a great job. Thank you, District Attorney Shagrew, and your whole team, and it was the whole, a great team, because it looked like it went the whole state. But I wanted to I mean, when we talk about Wakona Park, and I think you brought out a very valid point, and that is, if we're going to put the money into it, it just can't be May to September.
Right.
And I can remember, as a kid, playing Pop Warner football on that field. But then all of a sudden they got hoity-toity, and it couldn't only be certain people. So, one other thing I have to say this. I know you caught a lot of flack. It's over with now, most of it, I think, with the toters, with Casella. Well, and I know I've said this on the radio before, but I think it needs to be said, and this is why I say it. Casella is doing one terrific job. And as you were saying, the guys that plow one car on, well, I watched the city council and about some streets where there's parking on both sides. Well, I've noticed that on some of the streets in the southeast. And I've watched those guys try to weave their way down. Especially in the winter. And I'm thinking, what's the city doing to help out Casella? And maybe they should make alternate park like you do in the winter. If it's your trash side, one side of the street. It's just an idea, but I watch the guys. Right across from me is Arlington, and sometimes there's probably... The guys, they deserve gold stars. I mean, they bring those things in and they pick them up. It's, but it's more than just Casella's problem, is I guess where I'm going.
Well, I mean, I think it's an overall city problem. And you know, I think that as we went through the process, you know, we had three meetings pre-council vote to really engage with the public. I mean, there are a few items that decisions needed to be made that regardless of what was chosen would be an issue, right?
Yeah.
So the size of the tote, no matter what size we picked, would be an issue. Because if we picked anything larger than 48, it was very clear from the senior population that it was too big for us.
Yeah.
I think if we had chosen the 32 gallon, we would have really heard from a lot more families on how this isn't big enough.
Right.
Right. Folks don't really care for the equity argument that we all pay the same in taxes and some of us supplement others. And, you know, I know when we engage in the conversation, you engage in a slippery slope because there's a lot of tax dollars that come from my tax bill that I don't directly benefit from. We need to be careful when we're engaging in those arguments. But I mean, I think for the most part, the system figured itself out. You know, maybe it would have been better to implement it in March rather than in September. We could have, you know, avoided one more winter, but let's face it. This is Pittsfield.
We've learned.
We projected about $500,000 worth of savings. I'm leery to go too far, but I think the savings will be greater than that. And so all the things that we cut back on, you know, as I said before, we can have the conversation about, is there a Christmas week bonus? Is there, you know, can we engage in bringing back yard waste, curbside pickup, if it's financially doable? Can we do? I mean, I think there's a lot of let's keep our eyes on what we would like to see differently. And let's make it through 9 to 12 months of a new system to ensure that we really are trending in the right direction and that the trend continues. And then what else can we do? You know, so there's monies from the department's budget that, we can utilize to make improvements someplace else, or, you know, we can keep that as savings and help reduce the overall budget. But you know, I think what's interesting is every place I go, we all have our wants and needs.
Yeah.
And I think there's a difference between the want and the need. And you'll remind folks all the time of former Counselor Simonelli's.
Yeah.
Want it or do we need it? And I think that's there, but I think sometimes our wants are just as important as our needs. And so just because it's a want doesn't mean that we don't do it. But if it's a want that is too expensive, then maybe we can't do it. And so, you know, those are the conversations that we need to have. You know, we're almost done with developing the budget. I'm pleased to be able to say that, you know, there are currently, as the budget looks, no layoffs in the city, both on the city side or on the school side. You know, again, there's a lot of angst with this budget process because this is what I know right now. I don't know if all the federal funding is intact and we're going to be able to keep it. I was quoted recently from a school committee meeting, you know, if we lose $10 million in funding from the federal government, I don't know how I make it up. And I don't know what that looks like in the big picture. And you know, I think when we talk about a lot of the societal woes, they're all interwoven. And, you know, those societal woes impact our Pittsfield public school system. It impacts our families. It tears some families apart. And so we have to find a way to navigate and work through all of those. And so, you know, we're about ready to hit budget season. We will be adding, 3 additional co-responders. As the budget process. So it will give us a total of 6. So it should allow us the ability to have, you know, full-time 24/7 coverage. And we know some of the issues that we have, and we can be developing a plan to help work those stuff. And, you know, do we have all the answers? No. But there's a lot of good people in Pittsfield that can work together to come up with those answers if we really try.
Well, I just want to go back to one thing. The white terrace, I only saw it from the outside, but it is really well done. So congratulations to those builders and developers. I mean, it is really, rather than now an eyesore, it's pleasant to the eye.
And I had the privilege of touring inside with the developer, and a lot of positive feedback from him about Pittsfield and the process and looking for the next project. And so Mayor, find me the next project of which we will do. I mean, I think that we have to get out of that. There's only one right way of doing things and recognize that there are multiple ways. And I have to think it was funny. I just saw a meme on Facebook that said 6 + 3 = 9, but so does 5 + 4 = 9.
Right.
And so there are multiple ways to get to the end result. And just because this is the path that we're on doesn't mean that we can't be taking 2 separate paths at the same time to get to this, to the end point that we're desiring. And, you know, part of it is where we're at. And as I began the process of developing budget number 2, there were a lot of things that I didn't get to see until recently. And, you know, as a city councilor, as a city council president, you saw one side of the budget.
Right.
And as mayor last year, I began to see the development side of a budget. But then when you get to the end of the year, you see, oh, this department turned back 700,000. This department turned back 300,000. This wasn't really used at all. That on the counselor side, you don't necessarily see. And right. So now I'm looking at, okay, what was the dollar amount of turnbacks from various departments? And when we estimated our local receipts, how conservative were we? And so, you know, if we had $2 million in turnbacks and $2 million above our estimations for local receipts, that's $4 million. And what could you have done with that $4 million? But if you're not looking at that big picture, because you're looking at the snapshot in time based on what you're doing,
yeah,
then that's what you have to see. And, you know, in some cases, maybe $2 million seems like a lot of turnbacks from departments. And then on the flip side, I would say maybe it's not. When you're talking about 25 different departments, some, like the mayor's office, has really nothing to turn back because our budget's fairly simple. There's, you know, three salaries and a few expense line items. The city council budget, the same. There's you know, some salaries for the council and the clerk and then some expenses. But when you're looking at the police budget or the fire budget,
yeah,
and you're budgeting for X number of employees, and you constantly are gaining and losing employees for retirements or injured on duty, yeah, or, you know, whatever the case may be, then how accurate can they be?
Yes.
And if we're, hey, we've got this budget that we know we got it down to the dime and something happens, then you're over budgeted. And so, you've gone over budget. Yeah. And so how do we engage in those conversations? And I have a department head meeting coming up later this week. Well, so as we're taping later this week, but we'll have already had it, where, you know, we start to engage in some of the conversations as to, you know, we've always done it this way, but are there other ways of kind of looking at it? Are there other concepts? You know, somebody brought a suggestion along the way about the hours of City Hall, and that, you know, it's 8:30 to 4 Monday to Friday. The town of Dalton does a 8 to 4:30 Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, an 8 to 6 on Thursday, and an 8 to noon on Friday. Do we need to have an evening, one evening a week open for folks that work the same time, yeah, that City Hall is open? And is that a necessity in today's day and age when you have the online capabilities? Do you need that, right? Do you need that resource?
Yeah.
So it's conversations to be had. You know,
but you're having them.
Correct.
That's the for the people out there watching and listening, that's the positive thing. You are having them. And that to me is the gold star in your administration. In the past, and not recent past, but in the old past, it was, hey, this is how we do it. The highway department gets this much. I think what you're trying to do is rationalize, like, as we were saying, you sat through the AI guy at the school committee. Wake up, folks. It's here. It's coming down like a freight train. And the feedback from people when I did the show a couple days ago, it's been really good. I mean, some people are scared. Got it. The only thing I would say that about online, we are an aging city. No question about it. So be careful about how much you put online, because I can do certain things.
Right.
But I got to take my hat off to Jim Clark and all the people that seem to have over 1,000 registrations.
I hear that. Yeah. But the online piece is for the people who work 8 to 5 and can't get to City Hall, right? So, you know, there's part of the conversation. And Look, I think that many times we all agree at what the outcome should be.
Right.
It's how do we get there? And, you know, exactly. I think some of the conversations are, you know, do we need to do this? Are we seeing the outreach? Are we hearing from folks that things need to change because, yeah. Or are we just saying, hey, we think we know this, right? You know, I think one of the valuable lessons that I learned or have learned and continue to learn with the Mental Health and Substance Use Disorder Task Force is that sometimes those of us in the room that are trying to pave the road with good intentions,
right,
without a conversation of those that we're trying to pave the road for, right, is not necessarily a good thing. And I think we clearly saw that with the median safety ordinance and the public outcry to defend. You know, there was a lot of misinformation there of, you know, we're not going to be able to rally and we're not going to be able to do what we need to do. The fact of the matter is that regardless of whether or not that passed, you know, First Amendment rights and First Amendment rallies would still be protected and could still be there. Yeah. I think we're a community that doesn't always follow the rules. And so if folks want to have a First Amendment rally, they need to get a permit. And they need to get a permit because we need to plan for public safety. And so, you know, what is interesting with free speech is everyone's entitled to free speech if I agree with your opinion and your speech. Yeah. And so if somebody wants to do a rally for X, but a majority of Y doesn't like it,
that's right,
you can't stop it. And then we all know, if we could be guaranteed a world where every protest or rally we had was peaceful, then maybe we wouldn't have to worry about it. But not every rally is peaceful. And, you know, when we hosted the vice president last July, there were multiple rallies going on at the same time. And how did you know who was going to be where? And so part of it was you needed your rally permit so that
It's a safety issue.
Yep.
You know, when I hear these people and see online all the malarkey, it's a safety issue. And I applaud you for trying to do something to reinforce that for people. It's not about taking away your rights. It's protecting your rights. So you have a right without being, you know, harassed or whatever. I want to take my hat off to the people of Berkshire County, I guess Pittsfield mostly, who assembled in Park Square to protest a hands up or what. I forget what the thrust was, but utterly very well done. And that's the way people should protest, in my opinion. And, of course, everybody knows that I got to do this, Peter. Everybody knows the views and opinions expressed on this program are mine and those of my guests. They in no way represent the Pittsfield School Department, School Committee, well, today, Peter Marchetti in the mayor's office, or Peter White in the city council. But, I think we're a city on the move. Now, one last for me. What I saw in that whole operation, whatever you want to call it, was that no one really drove home, wait a minute, this isn't about taking things away. This is about protecting you so you can say those things. This world is different. The other piece, and you just nailed it, I thought I knew kids pretty well until I took over the Violent Youthful Offender Program and actually sat with them. And then I realized I had a lot to learn. And I think that's what you've learned in that homeless and abuse. There's a lot. There's no easy fixes. I get so angry. Not angry. I don't care anymore. I do care. The people are so simplistic. Well, just have them live in a Y. Well, some of them don't want to live in the Y, you know, for whatever their reasons. But you do. I think what this has really been a great show in that you've opened up to all of this going on. Massive. Now you got to do the budget. Now, I do want to see, would you put in the budget for me? Would you put in the budget recliners for city council meetings and to serve little bars in the back?
Probably not.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll be watching it from home.
Okay. That's okay.
No, but seriously. I do want to really thank you for coming on. Thank you for being so candid. And I mean that. We are friends. I let everybody know that. But one of the reasons we are friends is, and we you'll back this up, we always haven't agreed.
Well, and you know what? I mean, there are so many different topics and so many different opinions on those topics that if you're looking to agree with everybody all the time, you're going to drive yourself crazy. And, you know, I think for me, one of the strong points of serving as mayor is that, I had 35 years of private sector background. And there's times that I shake my head and go, I can't believe we're doing this. And then there are times that I go, you're trying to run the city like a business. And in this particular instance, you can't do that. How do you know that? And also, all of us that have either served or are serving or who want to serve have to recognize that it's not always easy. And somebody someplace, maybe a lot of somebody someplace, are going to disagree with you. And the harder part is to sit back and listen, because they have the right to disagree, right? And so sitting through ONR and sitting through the council meeting and listening was tough, because when people were saying things that I didn't think were factual, I wanted to jump out of my seat and say, well, that's not true. But then the other part is, this is a democratic process. And, you know, I think one media source reached out and said, what do you have to say about how it went down? I respect the democratic process and move on. And, you know, I was pleased that a good number of the city councilors recognized what the intent was, even though they didn't agree with, and some of their points were valid about enforcement or about vagueness or, you know, some of the other topics that were raised. But most, I won't say all, but most recognized its intent to ensure safety and go from there.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for all of your personal time that you've given up. And believe me when I tell you, he's given up a lot of his free time that I don't even think he has that term anymore in his lifestyle. But for all that you do for the city, and I mean that not as a friend, but as a citizen and as a taxpayer, I really feel that you're behind the city in driving it in the right direction. And if you disagree, you can find me on Facebook and say bad things about me. You do anyhow. Be well. Enjoy your budget time.
Thanks.
You bet.
See ya.
Gabby, God bless to you and yours. God bless to all of you. And, you know, lift somebody's day today. Make somebody laugh. Give them a phone call. Cheer them up. We're all in this together, and we really think about it. I want you to think about this. We really need each other. So don't be so critical of the mayor, of me, of others, because in case you haven't noticed, you're not perfect. Take care, Mr. Mayor.
Thanks. You too.
Bye-bye.